Here I am back in New York. I lived in Virginia for 6 years in a cute little house with a backyard that was entirely too big. And when I bought my house, I was provided a pet disclosure notice. I thought it was about dogs because I was told that there was a pen in the back. But it wasn't dogs, and it wasn't a pen. It was a coop. And the guy I bought my house from had, can you guess? Pigeons. Yep. And I could tell you that they were really very beautiful pigeons. I had never seen anything like that before because they kept coming back. Kyle, that was the guy I bought the house from. And his pigeons, he thought, had moved to North Carolina. But they kept coming back. My neighbors would laugh at me, and I think it's kind of funny too, when they saw me running around in my yard trying to chase them away, and it just looked like I was playing a bizarre game of tag, because they weren't afraid of me, and they were probably wondering why I wasn't feeding them. Eventually, Kyle came and set some traps, and then I didn't see them quite so much anymore. Homing pigeons, birds that are able to return to a place no matter how far away they are taken from it. And if you like Game of Thrones, which I do, you know all about the ravens, right? Okay, there you go. All right. But other animals have this ability as well. We've all heard the story of the family pet who, after their owners have taken them along on a move, traveled miles to return to the home from which they came. The story of the turtles that I told to you today involves something called natal homing. Natal homing describes what certain animals do when they return to the place of their birth. The story today was about turtles, but many creatures engage in natal homing. I don't think pigeons do. That's a different thing. Salmon and other types of fish, some species of shark, and birds are associated with this behavior as well. How do they do it? It's not as romantic as we would like it to be. The information that animals use to return to the place of their birth or some other place which has been imprinted on them is dependent on the species, and it may be reliant on any one of a number of environmental factors, among them temperature, the position of the sun, and the magnetic field of the earth. Why do they return to the place of their birth? Typically, to breed. And scientists have complicated theories about the role natal homing plays in genetic diversity. And I'm not even going to begin to attempt to deal with that here. Perhaps animals return to the place of their birth, or what we might consider home, because on some basic level, nature has figured out a way for creatures to return to the place of their birth, because if a location was successful for birth and survival once, it might be again. But why do we feel the urge to return home? To return to the places where we have been. What is it about returning that sometimes has a pull for us, that calls some of us to engage in our own version of natal homing? A few years ago, I met an elderly woman. I'll call her Mary. She was in her late 80s. She had undergone a lot of loss. She had very few friends left living. Her spouse had recently died. Her dog had died. The home she had made with her husband and where she had raised their children was many miles away from the place where she had originally lived with him and where she and he had been born. One day she convinced her son to take her back to the place that had been her home, where she had come from, a place that had lived in her memory for so many years, especially as she was experiencing so much loss. A static memory of something that became more and more important to her and more worthy of remembering as the life that she was living now had changed so much. Returning home. What is home, really? In 2008, the Pew Research Center published a report on American mobility, which was based on a survey of over 2,200 adults. Less than one quarter of the people surveyed who had moved to a different community at least once defined home as the place where they were currently living. More than 60% of the group of people called movers identified home as the place where they were born or raised, where they had lived the longest, where their family came from, or where they went to high school, right? What that tells us is that home is not necessarily always just a geographic place, so much as it is a place where people have connections to other people. And most likely those connections grew out of or led to shared experiences. There is so much truth to the saying, home is where the heart is. And unless that place that we call home is one that calls up negative emotions for us, and even then, many of us delight in the occasional journey that takes us back to where we came from. My high school reunion is next month. I don't know. Yes. When we are geographically far from that place that we call home, returning there may fulfill our need for a familiar place and familiar faces, sometimes when we need them most. Virginia Sater, a therapist and author, she says, familiarity exerts a powerful pull. What we have observed and experienced day after day exerts a powerful influence. Most people will choose the familiar, even though uncomfortable, over the unfamiliar because of that power. We find the familiar in our families, our friends, the homes we grew up in, the places where we played, the schools we attended, where we gathered for worship, right? There are physical places that we identify with home and to which we want to return, but what about the places from which we are separated by time and not simply distance? Class reunions. I'm not going to tell you which one it is. It's a big one. And most of us aren't here anymore. The number of people who attend class reunions are probably just about equal to the number of people who shun them. What purpose does attending these serve? Sometimes high school was traumatic for a lot of people. We gather together with people, many of whom we have not seen or spoken to in years, and many who we won't see or speak to again until another reunion is held. But when we go to these events, We are returning to a moment in time. A time when, for some of us, hopefully we were at our best, and sometimes we were at our worst. Humans love stories. We want to tell them. We want to hear them. They help to ground us when there isn't much to hold on to. And we want to remember them together. We are meaning-making people. We want to ask the questions that have been unanswered for years, no matter how good or bad the answers are. We want closure. And sometimes returning can give us that. Sometimes we visit that long ago time or that far away place to remember something. And sometimes it's to recapture something. Sometimes it is because we think we still have work to do. While some of us may want to revisit joy, some of us may want to redo the thing that caused another pain. Or ask someone that caused us pain why. Returning, it can also be a path to healing and forgiveness. I'm going to tell you what happened on Mary's return home. The neighborhood she lived in was no longer the place she had remembered. It had changed so much. Some of the old buildings she remembered were still there, but they were different, and she didn't know any of the people. Her visit didn't do what she expected. That she would relive or re-experience some part of who she was, and that connection to that prior time would give her peace. But it did do two other things for her. It made her realize and feel that she was at one time a part of something that had grown into something else. That was strangely wonderful and new. And she was happy about that, even though she was no longer a part of it. And it also made her more grounded in the present that was really hers and recommit herself to making the most of whatever time she had left to spend with the family and the remaining friends she had. Today, we are all bombarded with calls for a collective return to the way things used to be in this country. But what each of us understands the past to be, just like what each of us calls home, is a very subjective thing. And it is sometimes distorted, well, often distorted, by time and perspective. When we are looking back to the place that we call home, to return even briefly to what was, sometimes we trick ourselves into thinking that was where and when we were our best selves. The promise that we believe exists for us in returning to a place may not be in alignment with the reality of what we actually find waiting for us. That was true for Mary. She was holding on to something that wasn't there anymore. All of life is an opportunity for learning and growth. In looking back, we believe we were at our best in a time or place before, whether it was true or not. If that is what we think, we shouldn't waste our time now trying to recreate it. We should instead rekindle the flame that once burned within us to light the way, to help us move forward to a new and better place, if not geographically, at least in our hearts. And if we are ashamed of and disappointed in what and where we used to be, we can celebrate our place in the here and now and continue to benefit from whatever lessons were a part of our journey from then to now. So, the visit back is not just a tool for remembrance and comfort. It is an opportunity to do deep work. And a little bit of that and more is why I have returned to New York and am here with all of you. This journey we are beginning together is a way for us to see how far we have come, you and me, and where we can go together. Returning, actually reflecting on your path. What was initially home for you in Glens Falls, a bunch of people thinking about big things, to this moment right now should give you hope and demonstrate to you the potential within this congregation to achieve what it wants to achieve and to achieve what it needs to achieve as it moves forward into the future. May it be so.